Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Eels defeat Manly. Eels defeat Manly in, would we say, game of the round?
Yeah. A lot of points. Pretty exciting.
It was exciting.
Deserve it of the 4 p.m. Sunday time slot.
Can we, I know it changes the daylight savings, but get rid of the 6 o'clock shit fight.
Yep.
Yuck.
Too much now.
Give me Sunday arvo footy.
Yep.
Two and four. Give me some time to wind down after that second game. Jeez Louise.
Exactly.
Especially if we can be extra selfish to come in here on a Monday morning early and get into the reviews. Jeez, it's hard when it finishes at 8:30.
And just like, it's yuck. Because like, the good thing about Sunday arvo footy is you get your Sunday arvo footy and then you get to wind down. You might get to watch, you know, a little movie.
Yeah.
Spend a bit of me time.
Or
a bit of self-love.
Sunday night, Matty John starts a little bit earlier.
Yep. So you just ease into the week.
Correct.
Whereas rolling in it.
Doesn't change to around 7, so a little bit after daylight savings this year.
Jesus.
It is good first couple of weeks. Maybe first week or two, I reckon, when the sun's still out. You can still be down at the pub. When we're getting to this point, it's a bit...
The first few weeks, you could put footy at fucking midnight. to be fair.
I love the 2 and 4 because you get that, like, you can go out... Have your little feed in the morning, maybe go for a walk with the miso and you roll into 2 o'clock. It's beautiful. And then you got the 4 o'clock. Whereas like the later one, you got to wait all the way to 4. Anyway.
And how do you get your dinner in between sometimes? That can be a little bit of a challenge too. You're going straight from 4. You got a 15-minute window to eat something.
Chow down.
Yeah. It's where the Musashi bars have been such a welcome addition.
Hey, that's why early season edge.
Exactly.
Give yourself the early season edge of not being able to eat dinner by having a protein bar.
Correct.
Bloke 35. Use code bloke for 35% off. Not bundles though. Eels defeat Manly.
We can't do it.
hey, gotta put the T's and C's in there.
Absolutely.
I don't want to get done for false advertising.
Yep.
I don't want the dribbler in my comment section. How dare you, sir? You said 35% off. Eels defeat Manly 28-24. Manly comes out red hot. They're up 14-0. And Eels, when you talk about changing the game, Junior Bowler comes on. And this is where I think Brad Arthur deserves a lot of credit because, so in the press conference, he says, Junior, he wants to start. Like, so this is an overcall by Brad Arthur going, no, your best role for the team is coming off the bench. So Brad Arthur deserves a massive rap for that. Junior Bowler deserves a massive rap for being an incredible front rower. And Eels deserve a massive rap for somehow coming back from 14-0 down. Eels are looking much better than I thought they would. They really are. You know, you still got the concerns on the edges there. And I thought that Manly, like DCE, just going, oh, there's a debutant out in the centres with Harper on the wing. Harper actually hasn't started on the wing in NRL. Oh, we're just going to spin the ball there constantly. Eventually, they found joy there pretty much any time they could get the ball out there. But Eels managed to find a way to get their job done. Now, a key in this was, and this is where I really think Manly let themselves down. So the score, so Eels had 39% of the ball in the first like 20 minutes or whatever, and the score was 14-12, I think. So the Eels had only completed 6 sets and they'd already scored 2 tries. And what that says to me is just really poor defense, online defense. The fact that they can score immediately as soon as they get down there twice, that's really poor goal line defense. Now, granted, they fought their way back into it, Manly, but I do think that their defense is definitely something that they need to work quite a lot on. And also not allowing, you know, when the momentum goes against them, similar ish to the Dragons, obviously nowhere near as bad as the Dragons, but when the momentum goes against them, finding ways to slow the flow down of the game. Penrith do it really well. Storm do it really well. Just different ways of slowing the game down so that you can get set, get your line ready to go. Because really, that the fact that they're 14-0 up, and I think they had like, it was like 80% of possession. Oh, sorry, no, by that time. So, that yeah, 14-0 up, 80% of possession. Then they had 61% of possession, so they're 14-12 up. That's kind of the period where they kind of lost the game because they really, if you've got 60% of possession, you really should be up by minimum 12 points. Mm. And so that's going to be an area of their game I think they've got to really focus on, Manly. But outside of that, I know that they'd be disappointed they didn't get the win, but both teams, they're playing top six footy in my opinion. Both sides are playing top six footy and very exciting for both sides. What did you reckon, Roo?
Just we've got like an exciting game on our hands at the moment when like you can just start so fast like Manly did and still be able to just rope your way back into the game.
Mm.
Like we saw the Warriors, you know, obviously start fast against the Sharkies the other week. And, you know, like in previous years in rugby league, you'd watch that first 15 minutes of that game and this game and just go, oh, they're gone now.
It's over.
They won't be able to get back into this. But Parramatta, no, they get back into it. Got up enough to be like well and truly in front with about 20 minutes to go. They're very impressive. We start with Parramatta, or
yeah, we'll start with Parramatta.
Mitch Moses, very good signs there. Looks like he's starting to move past that groin injury.
Yeah, I'd love to know what that groin injury is. How do you go from limping to looking?
Mate, I've said it a million times. If I could be a fly on a wall in any change room and stuff, it'd be Parramatta. I'd love to just some of the things that go on there and whatnot that I can't quite make sense of. I think it'd be so interesting, but they still put on good performances and whatnot.
And also, like, they deserve a rap because, like, publicly facing, we're all sitting there going, oh, rest Mitchell Moses, what's going on? But clearly, they've got a really good doctor or physio that knows their shit. Because you think about, you're a physio, you're sitting there, you've got Mitch Moses out there limping. Guess what I'm doing?
Yeah.
Get him off. Because I don't want to be the guy responsible for Mitch Moses tearing his groin and being out for 6 to 8 weeks.
Well, mate, like they ran out in this game and Clint Gutherson goal kicked the whole time and then with 15 minutes to go, Mitch Moses took a shot at goal. And you're just going, why? What are we doing here?
He must just felt good.
Yeah, he felt okay. Which, sure, like, by all means. But it's just, from the outside looking in, it just seems like you're playing with fire.
Mm.
But they're obviously not.
Yeah. They clearly know a lot that we don't with that injury.
For sure.
Mitch Moses, just, as I said, I think he's a front runner for that sixth jersey at the moment for the Blues. I think he's been really good. I think his game has just... Talk about a bloke that has well-rounded his game out. Like, if you go back and watch when he first arrived to the club, this is not the same Mitch Moses that arrived at the Parra Eels. This is a Mitch Moses that is arguably one of the better defensive sevens in the comp. Mate, when he arrived at the Eels, defensively, there were so many questions. It was like, will he even be a long-term first grader because his defense isn't up to scratch? I mean, you would have had him at the Tigers for a bit.
Yep.
And, like, he has worked his absolute backside off. And also, like, if you had said a few years ago, Moses may fight his way into pair Cleary in the 6 and 7 jersey, you would have said, mate, that 6 and 7 spot is so filled, there's not a chance.
Yeah.
Yet he's probably the front runner. And so the Parra Eels deserve massive raps, but most of all, Mitch Moses deserve massive raps. I think his journey has been one of the most intriguing as a half that we've seen in the last few years.
Yeah, without a doubt. He's been very impressive the way that he's matured over the last few seasons. I wouldn't say it's blown me away because you've always known this footballer was in.
He's always been super talented.
Yeah.
But how many super talented ball players have we seen said, you know what, I'm not going to bother with that defence thing. I'm just going to get away with being a mad ball player.
Yeah. No, he's worked really hard at his game. And obviously, you know, that Parramatta Eels number 7 jersey since Sterlo left has just been a nightmare for teams. But, God, I would love to see Mitch Moses to be the guy that ends the drought at 7.
Would be poetic.
It'd be so good.
What about his kicking game? Like, that long boot. Until you watch a game like DCE versus Moses and you watch how important that long boot is, you look at some teams that don't have a kicker that, you know, a deep kicker, and you go, how are you even getting through games with that? Like, how are you not getting turned around constantly by a DCE, a Mitchell Moses? It's just, yeah, really, really good stuff from Moses.
Yeah. He's a gunner. He put a bit of size on too in the last couple of years too. Like, yep, real kind of nuggety kind of frame to him now. But he did real well in Origin last year when he filled in for Cleary. But yep, be great to see both those two get a run together.
And I think, like, some people go, well, that's putting two sevens in your halves. I think Mitch Moses absolutely could be a six.
Yeah.
He's a great ball runner.
Yep.
It's one of his biggest strengths is how fast he is.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think he's been playing really well. Already spoken about it, but Junior Bowler off the bench was outstanding. Ryan Madison, geez, he is just going unnoticed, unsung. But when he gets on, the quality of his work and his ability to – I just think that he's picking his times really well, where he's ball playing when he needs to, but he's also just running it straight and hard when he needs to as well. He had three offloads because that's what – like when – so basically when Madison and Paulo came on, they had seven offloads together. Like that – it just completely changed the momentum of the game.
Yeah.
If they don't come on at the time they do – Manly probably run away with it. Like, I genuinely believe that.
Yeah. Speaking of a guy that's well-rounded his game out and knows his role, Madison, he's just an absolute weapon. Absolute weapon.
And he's a big boy. You actually, because he's so silky with his hand, you actually forget how much of a big unit he is.
Yeah.
Funny though, like sometimes when you see him playing as a middle forward, then you forget how silky he is as well. Like, he can just play both roles. Like, it was only a few years ago he was in a grand final throwing that unbelievable flick pass around his body for the Roosters. He's so talented, Matto.
Yeah. That try assist from Dylan Brown, just beauty to watch. The long ball over the top.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my
God. Did a few of those yesterday.
Mate.
Yeah.
I just love how much he's competing this year. And, like, he hasn't had the crazy stats yet, but they'll come.
Yeah.
They will absolutely. How often does he get the ball and there's nothing on? Like, for example, the try that Mitch Moses to Talangi, that all started off just a nothing play by Dylan Brown with good footwork getting a quick play of the ball.
Yeah.
Like, that's just creating – like, so we'll focus on the Mitch Moses incredible pass and the great push-up by Talangi, and rightly so. But really, what created that opportunity was Dylan Brown creating something from nothing.
What about on that try? You know, great ball playing by Dill, great hands by Mitch. Blaze gets the ball at full pace and just bodies up on Tommy Trbojevic.
And that's the thing – when I looked at Blaze in the trials, I was like, is he physically ready for first grade? And I actually wasn't sure because he is quite a rangy kind of build. And then you see that content. Yeah, oh, he's definitely physically ready. Now, I do think that he's – I don't know if he's ready for a full season of first grade yet, but he's absolutely got potential to be a bloody good centre, a bloody good centre.
Tell what else I loved on that play. And, you know, it sounds really simple and whatnot, but – and you'll be able to talk more about it, Kemi, but – he timed that pass and got the ball at absolute top speed. And in a moment where it has to go through Brown, Moses, and the attack is jamming on Mitch Moses, it would have been so easy for him to mistime that run. Yeah. He just had full confidence in his halfback that he would get it right, and there was just no stopping him.
Yeah, really, really. And look, did him and Harper, you know, get skinned a few times by DC in that? Yes, they did. So I do think... don't read too much into that as a Para fan as to whether Blaze Talangi is a good defender or not. Because, first of all, he's got Dylan Brown inside him, who's also a young defender. Yes, he is one of the best sixes in the comp. But he's also got Harper outside him. And some of those line breaks from the Manly were actually Harper not trusting Talangi. And then in the first one, it was Harper not jamming in. You know, so don't get me wrong, there was both of them that could have made better decisions, but a lot of it came from his spacing outside Dylan Brown just wasn't exactly accurate.
Yep.
And that actually did remind me a little bit, because he's probably been playing New South Wales Cup, and I don't know what position he's been playing, but when you're a guy as talented as Blaze Talangi, usually you can sit a little bit tighter to your three defender because you're quick enough to get the outside men in, whereas when you get into first grade, you just can't do that. So if I'm an Eels fan, don't worry about that. This kid, it's all just about combinations, because a lot of those defensive issues, they weren't because he wasn't willing to put his body in front, they weren't because of poor contact. It was just about combinations and getting used to the people inside and outside of him. So don't stress too much about Talangi's first 20 minutes or so.
I think the other thing that people need to note as well is that I do not believe the kid's a centre. I think he will be a fullback long term.
And that's what he's been playing in.
He's been playing fullback.
Played the last two weeks at fullback. So
probably why his spacing is a little 100%, bit off.
Yeah. So
don't read too much into that at all. He's a rookie that's getting pinpointed by DCE and Tom Trbojevic. Like DCE in Origin has pinpointed people. So don't read into that.
And that's going up against an edge also with Olakau'atu.
Yeah.
With Ruben Garrick, like supreme NRL players.
Yeah.
Look, I don't think he'll be a centre for that long. You almost find it hard to believe that you hear it time and time again about Gutho moving to the centres. But if there ever is a world where I could see Gutho moving to the centres, it is for Blaze in the next few years.
Great name. One of the great names, rugby league, Blaze.
Unreal, yeah.
What I loved about his debut is, you had the errors there and the defence, the questions with Harper or whatever, but he just never stopped having a dig.
Yeah.
A lot of rookies go into their shell and go, this isn't my day. He didn't. He just kept turning up, kept trying, and obviously got himself a try. And for him to be able to, for that contact on Tommy, like that's a strong boy. That's a strong, strong boy. So very excited for his future.
You haven't seen it yet, but he has got incredible hands too. He's a very good little ball player.
Exciting for all the family he brought to. Apparently that he had 60 family members. They had to get their own bus to get there. So that would have been a pretty happy bus going home, I would have thought.
Yeah, absolutely. A win like that. And so I'm just excited to, because like what have we always been saying about the Eels is they're short and outside back. If this kid can step up, whether it's in fullback or centre, I still think you keep Gutho at fullback, but the whispers are the whispers. If he can step up, because I think Will Bensini's been great. I really do. I've liked Bensini's start to the year. Once they get Sivo back, who knows? Who knows? Seriously.
Do you keep Blaze in the side when they're full strength or...?
I'd strongly consider it.
Yeah.
Just with the potential upside of what he can do. Now, if he comes out for the next week or two and he continues to have a little bit of a defensive spacing issues, that's where you go, okay, he's going to start getting targeted and is that the best for his development? And you maybe just pull him out a bit. But if he comes out next week and he feels more comfortable and it's all good, that's when I'd go, you know what, strongly consider putting him in the centres.
Who they got? They got you next week, don't they?
They do. Easter Monday.
Okay.
Yep.
I'd keep him there. When's Sivo back? This week? You know what? My back line would probably be Sivo, Bensini, Talangi, Russell.
Yeah, okay.
Probably go Sivo's that. Back this week.
Where'd you go?
Yeah, I think I'd go the same.
Amy?
Yeah, I think so. Makes sense to me.
Okay. So great job by the Eels. Definitely playing... when they're on a roll, they are hard to stop. Playing some really good brand of footy. Just the amount of offloads, like... Geez, that's got to be tough for teams. Okay, now on to Manly. Now, people are focused on this. A lot of people focus on that last play, obstruction from Jake Trbojevic. I understand the frustration. The defender would have never got there. I get it. But what's the alternative? Because with every team, all of us, yourself with the Tigers, you with the Roosters, obviously, you with the Rabbitohs. We've all been stung by that rule where the player was never going to get there,
yeah.
But it gets called an obstruction. Fair?
Have we all been a fan of the game, mate? It happens to you every week. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
So, look, I get the frustration, but every team has been stung by this. And if you want to be super nitpicky, okay, yes, was the defender being lazy and turning off on the inside? He was. But if you want to be nitpicky, Jake Trbojevic could have easily stepped back and not stepped into the line there.
Mm-hmm. And that's the whole point. These guys, they know what the rules are. I know they're exhausted and they're arsing out, but you know what the rules are. If you're going to give the video ref an opportunity to rule via the rule book, guess what? It's probably not going to come up trumps for you.
Yeah. And so I understand you're passionate and you feel like that's why you lost, but I don't think so. And also, the pass was a mile forward.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, you made a really good point before. You got the New Zealand Warriors who were going to the line and then jagging themselves back. I mean, they should get rewarded for having that in their game. If other teams aren't doing it, so be it.
And also, it's not like Jake DeWoy was running into that. He walked into that spot. So, he was also clocking off. Like, both players clocked off in that moment. You go back. Like, DC knocked it on before they scored the... So, that wasn't the reason why they lost. They had a 14-0 lead.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they didn't capitalise on the way they should have.
I also think the black and white nature that they rule obstructions on now causes way less headaches than when they did the grey area a few years ago. Yeah. Way, significantly
the,
less.
The thing with the black and white is like for a period there, I was against it because I was like, come on, the game isn't black and white and rah-rah. But the more I think about it, the more I'm just like, if it's black and white, then it sends a very clear message to players. It's the attacking team's responsibility to just not put themselves in that position. Now, granted, if a player, like for example, the week before with Hughes, where he chose to go in, that shouldn't have been a penalty. Like that was a bad, bad call. But that's different because the defender was choosing to go in. But yeah, look, I get it. The defender was never going to get there. I understand Manly fans. You're going to be sitting there going, are you kidding me? But first of all, the Tom Trbojevic part was so forward.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how, like there was literally, there was a person there marking the fact that it was forward. He literally went around him. So there's that. And then also you get some calls, you don't get some calls. I don't think that's why the Manly Seagulls lost.
It was a call by the book.
Mm.
It is what it is. You know the rules. You have to, like, as soon as it went upstairs, we all looked at it the first time and went, this sucks. Probably is a try, but we know it's not going to be by the rules.
Yeah.
And you know you have to avoid that stuff. You can't just be walking into the line like that.
Mm. Okay, let's get to the game. In saying all of that, if Manly can fix these mid-game, you know, laxes, you go, because you can look at Rabbitohs, they had that 10 minutes or so where they put those points on them. Roosters, that was probably their best performance this year against the Roosters where they, you know, dominated them. But in saying that, they did allow Roosters to kind of stay in the game for quite a while when they had a lot of possession. If they can fix that, Manly are a genuine threat. I would not be too disappointed where this is a Manly fan. I thought that for periods there, they looked genuinely unstoppable. They don't have to worry. The good thing for them heading into this season is attack is sorted for them. They can put on points. There's no questions about that. If they can get a gritty defence, they absolutely can challenge for a premiership this year.
God, they're so good to watch with the footy, aren't they? I love that the first try, I think it was Jackson Paulo scored it, where Luke Brooks chimed in over the other side and DC was just, you know, playing slow tempo and then finding Brooksy at top speed. Those two are as a halves pairing. They look like they've been playing together for a long time.
Brooksy looks outstanding.
Where do you think he fits in as a Blues number six option as well?
I probably wouldn't even consider it this year,
yep,
just because, like,
yeah.
The pressure, yep, the headlines that would create.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, unless he's absolutely just blown the comp out of the water. When you got a guy like Mitch Moses who's, yeah, going really well, I would just...
Even if he was blowing it out of the water, yeah, I think you're asking for trouble. And, you know, I think Brooksy could go in there and do a good job, but if he doesn't, my God, you know how it's going to play
out. And also, like, if he's felt pressure in club games, imagine what that Queensland team's going to do to him,
yeah,
in an Origin,
yeah,
game.
And, I mean, how often do you see, in particular, Harvey and New South Wales go into an Origin game, come out of it, and they don't actually do anything wrong, but the media pretends like they've had the worst game of all time?
For sure.
Yeah.
If I'm a Manly fan, I don't want him playing for the Blues. No. Maybe next year. Like, let's say he goes really well this year and then he goes well next year. Then, yep, you go, okay, yeah, sweet.
Yeah.
Now, the big question that we've had with Manly, well, I've personally had, is how does that forward pack go against a top-tier forward pack? We saw them dominate the Roosters. And so we were sitting here going, wow. So they've got it in them, for sure. They've got it in them. And they did this last year too when they went out and smashed Storm. But it's about week on week. And my question is, can this forward pack do what they did against the Roosters for a whole season? They definitely did get rolled over by the Eels forward pack. And the Eels forward pack, to be fair, the Eels forward pack is one of the better packs, yep, in the comp. You've got Origin front rowers, all that stuff. But for most of the game, they did get rolled over quite a lot.
Yeah, they were definitely on the back foot, the Manly Seagulls pack. And yeah, it is a big concern for them, whether they're going to be able to do it with the top sides. And I'm confident that they can give it to probably the bottom 8 to 10 teams, bottom 8 to 10 forward packs. But I mean, I don't want to be talking about Manly like that. I want to be talking, like, this is a team with Tom Trbojevic, DC. I want to talk about them with the top six sides. And their forward pack is going to have to punch a little bit above their weight to do so. And unfortunately, we didn't see it yesterday.
Yeah. And you look at their completion, 71% completion rate. And so that's not going to help you in a game like where you need to. And I think at one stage, the Eels were at 90% completion rate. And we talk about, you know, doing the smart plays to keep you in games. So the Eels were 14-0 down, but they had completed at 90-whatever percent. I think it was like 92%. And what does that say to you? That's an experienced forward pack that understands, okay, yes, the scoreboard, it's panicking. It's scary. Stick to our processes. It will turn. And it obviously did turn.
This is the Manly pack, right? They're not waiting on it. It's only Josh
Lodge. Schuster.
Lodge, okay. Yeah. All right.
So you got Lodge, Sipley.
Oh, yeah, Sipley's not in it.
So there are people to come back.
Yeah.
Them at full strength, I think, I just want to see them at full strength for 10 rounds to get a good gauge. I know that sounds like a lot, but they have been known to be a little bit inconsistent in the middle. And that's the only question. Like, when it comes to attacking prowess and all that kind of stuff, they're ready to go. It's just, can this forward pack do it for the whole season?
It will be interesting. Obviously, Anthony Seibold, pretty notorious for starting seasons fast. They certainly have started fast. Interesting to see how they go over the next few weeks.
Yeah.
They've got some tough games, but they've got some good matchups as well in there. They play the Dragons next week, then they play Penrith Warriors, then they got the Titans, and they play Parramatta again, then Raiders.
Just want to talk about a play that, you know, the cream of the crop kind of stuff. So the game's on the line. They need to get back into it. DCE with an incredible downfield kick.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Then Jake Trbojevic with a huge hit. And it's like, again, we talked about, you know, RTS impacting games, but this is what you want your big players on big money to do. The game's on the line. They link up. So it was basically a really good kick from DCE. Then I think it was Jake Trbojevic, a really good kick chase. Then he shot out of the line and made Blaise Talangi drop the ball. And, like, that's what they're paid the big bucks for, is the game is on the line. It's no one else's responsibility to change momentum. It's their responsibility to change momentum. And I thought that was just a good example of leaders leading from the front with their actions.
Sort of what we're talking about that we want to see out of South Sydney. Yeah, those sort of things. Yeah,
sure. But, yeah, look, great game. Probably the match of the round. Manly looking red hot. I think they've started the year really, really well. Hopefully they can get a big win next week and just keep building on what they've done so far this year.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.